pray. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text for our message today comes from Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. This morning, by the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul commands us to stand when the day of evil comes. Not if the day of evil comes, but certainly it is coming. Not if the devil will try to trip us up with schemes and lies, but when he brings his lies and his schemes. And we do so in the armor that God gives to us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great commander-in-chief, you could say, the Lord of the universe. It is Christ who dresses us for battle. We don't stand alone. We don't stand unclothed. We don't stand in isolation. We're not left to ourselves. We have glorious armor. We have armor that makes the enemy flee. Fear and defeat. So Paul paints for us a picture of a soldier. And it could be a Roman soldier, though we're not really sure. It doesn't really matter that much, right? It doesn't matter if he's a Roman soldier or a Greek soldier or, you know, a U.S. military, right? The point is the armor that God gives to us. And the strength and the victory that it gives to the wearer. You might ask, why are we talking about soldiers on a life Sunday? Maybe it sounds weird. But really, the answer is simple. As Christians, we live in a world that is constantly in battle. I'm not simply talking about the wars going on in the Middle East or in Africa or in terrorism. But at the heart of all of those conflicts is the conflict between God and Satan. Conflict between Jesus and the powers of darkness. As it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our enemies are not people, but our true enemies are the devil and his minions. We don't like to talk about evil a lot. Maybe we don't like to call things evil. We don't like to think, but we do things that are evil. Maybe it'd be easier to just ignore it and deny it. But we know it is at work in our country. People come up with different reasons on why evil things happen. A lot of times the church can get blamed for being the reason why there's evil in the world, right? Or other institutions, or those young people we don't know any better, right? But we know the source of the evil comes from the devil. It comes from being in a broken world with hearts, but without Jesus, are turned against his truth, against his grace. So we see the results as we look around us. We see how abortion has become a normal and accepted and a good thing in this culture's eyes. That the taking of innocent life would be something that we would want to fund and support. We praise God, recently a bill passed to hopefully defund federal funding of Planned Parenthood. But we also know that 56 million babies have died since Roe versus Wade in 1973. To give you an idea, that's 10 times the population of Minnesota. We live in a world where sexual preference and gender is not based on who God created us to be biologically, but rather on how we feel in our hearts. We think this will give us peace. Live in a world where marriage is kind of seen as a trial run. It's not seen as a lifelong commitment anymore. It's easy to exchange for cohabitation or homosexual bonds instead of between a man and a woman. People try so hard to create an image where they can feel valued, feel loved. You end up running into all these things and falling into the dangers of trying to just accumulate more and more stuff and still not being able to love themselves or feel loved. Abstinence is laughed at. Lust is easily given into. Depression and loneliness and low self-worth. Sick and suffering. And most of all, death is seen as a solution to the pain of this world. Instead of a sickness that needs to be remedied. We know we live in a world where we're being shot at by the lies of the devil, whether it be through our own hearts and minds, through people, through the world around us. But we know too that we're guilty, that we've fallen into those traps, that we've given in. Of course, we're not just talking about the value of unborn life, but really when we devalue any life that God has created. When we try to justify our behavior of gossip or neglect or disdain for people, whatever reason it might be, because of their age or race, or they're too sick, or they don't have enough money, or their values or beliefs are too different from us, or their personality, maybe they're not talented or gifted or popular enough. We too would confess that we've taken aim and shot those arrows of the devil that we were supposed to defend against. Kind of sounds like we need some help. Seems like we need some protection. We need some solid ground to stand on if we're going to live faithfully in this world. None of us is exempt. We don't have a special strength because we're in America or because we have more stuff. We're all helpless against the power of darkness and the devil. Well, the legend of King Arthur is one of my favorite tales. Anybody like King Arthur? It's one of my favorite stories. And it has a lot of different versions, but he's the king of Camelot, right, of Britain. Legend has it that supposedly he saved off Saxon invaders, leader of the Knights of the Round Table. Did great, marvelous things. One of the reasons for King Arthur's power and victory comes from when he receives the sword Excalibur from the Lady of the Lake. When he has Excalibur, he's given this new confidence and power he's able to go and vanquish his foes with. It was even said that in his scabbard for a sword, as long as he wore that, he won't ever die from any wound that was inflicted in battle. It would be nice to have an Excalibur, wouldn't it? That'd be cool. To be able to pull that out, feel that strength and power. And even in ancient times as well, to wear someone's armor would be said to bring strength and victory to the wearer. So oftentimes when people wore someone's armor, they would have a new confidence that now they had the strength and the power they needed to go out there and face their enemy. Remember the story of David and Goliath? David goes out to face the 9-foot-9 giant Goliath. Saul tries to put his armor on David, right? Maybe he'll help him get the strength of my armor that's helped me so many battles. Maybe he was thinking, well, if David wins with my armor, then I can take a little bit of credit, maybe, for this victory that he'll get. But David couldn't put on the armor. He said it was too big. He didn't feel comfortable in it, so he left the armor. He went out there with no armor. Well, no physical armor. David said, "It's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Even in the Old Testament, David went out against his foes with the armor of the Lord. He knew he'd be outmatched if he relied on his own strength, just a tiny young shepherd boy. He didn't go out with heavy weapons. He went out on the strength of the Lord. And as you know, the giant Goliath fell. Many people would think it would be ridiculous and impossible to challenge the giant of Planned Parenthood, but yet we're seeing it fall before our very eyes as we stand on the truth of God. Like David, we have no chance of standing against the devil. We need armor outside of ourselves. That's what God gives to us, in the armor of God. He gives us an armor so powerful it brings strength and victory to the wearer. Truth, righteousness, peace, the Word of God, faith, salvation, all we need to stand against the devil. Notice the defensive tone as well. It's not really, you know, I like to talk about the offense, but the tone is actually defensive. To stand firm. To be strong. Notice the soldier doesn't have a javelin, it doesn't have a long sword that would have been common offensive weapons. But the command mostly is to stand firm and to be defensive. Because we go out as soldiers into a battle where we've already won the victory. We already know the outcome. We've won the victory because Jesus Christ, our champion, has gone before us to fight for us. Jesus Christ, who got beaten and mocked and crucified by real Roman soldiers on a cross. Jesus Christ, who took on the attacks of the devil and all of his arrows of temptation and lies, never wavered one bit, even to death on a cross. And we know he won because he rose from the dead 3 days later. And he's still alive today with us this very hour. See, through holy baptism, we're conscripted as warriors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, this picture of armor is a picture of the clothing that we wear being baptized into Christ. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, it says, "Put on the new self, created to be like God, and true righteousness and holiness." This new self, this new armor, this new identity. This is who we are. This is who God gives to us. This is what we have in the onslaught of the evils around us. So we go forward in confidence and joy, knowing that this armor is not going to protect us from all physical attacks. We're going to have sickness, we're going to have suffering, we're going to have emotional pain, we're going to have certainly rejection and resistance. But we go forward as victors. God doesn't just give us armor, he actually gives us himself. If you just think about these words for a moment, we even had this last week, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, helmet of salvation. I'm the way and the truth and the life, belt of truth, the shield of faith, the same faith that God overcame all the lies and temptations of the devil with, the faithfulness of God that endures forever. Jeremiah 23:6, the Lord is my righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. It covers all of our sins. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The shoes of the gospel of peace, the peace that God gives to us, knowing that we belong to Him, regardless of whatever happens. God gives to us Himself. The Lord fights for us as we live in this armor, as we go forward as the soldiers. So we go as He went. We don't go attacking people out to conquer lands, not to start a revolt. But we go forward and stand on the Word of God and go forward in prayer and trust in God and living and teaching the Word and defending the oppressed, loving the sick and the lonely and the least, showing love and value to all people. We stand forth strong in Jesus Christ, who literally lives in us. So why don't we confess that today? We also have an insert with you in your bulletins. It says, "Here we stand." Insert from Lutheran for Life. On the back side of it, there's a list of things that we stand on. Does everybody have one of those? Let's stand up and confess these together. Here we stand to declare and defend the precious value of every human being. Here we stand to celebrate the many blessings of abundant and everlasting life. Here we stand for every human life, at each stage and any state, no matter what she's done, no matter what he can't do. Here we stand from the visible miracle of conception to the moment of natural death, because of God's purpose, not of our plans. Here we stand behind Jesus Christ's passion and not our own pride. Here we stand bearing his Holy Spirit's presence, not our own capacities. Here we stand against sin and selfishness, death of the devil, not against one another. Here we stand speaking truth and sharing love, in joy and not out of anger, in hope and not out of fear. Here we stand for forgiveness and not comparison, for salvation and not competition, to relieve and release, not to accuse, to listen, assist, accompany, embrace, and befriend, and not to attack. Here we stand with millions of his children around the world and multitudes across the centuries. Here we stand with you and for you, wherever you are, wherever you've been, wherever you're going. Here we stand for anyone vulnerable or victim to violence against life, as gospel-motivated voices for life. The way ahead will not be easy, but the victory has already been won in Christ. As children of God, redeemed under Christ, we stand firm, bearing peace, truth, righteousness, faith, the Word of God, and salvation. This armor we stand and we march in love, knowing that the very Lord himself fights for us. Here we stand and live with the truth and gospel of Jesus Christ, We can do no other. Amen.